websites provide the leverage to charge 10, 20, 30, 40K if you really wanted to, especially depending on what you're offering in those type of packages.
Yeah,
which, by the way, my 2,500, 5,000, 10,000, that's kind of the starting point for people who get to the multi six figure. Like I have some students right now doing 250, 300, 400. Wow. Their price points are more like starting at the 10,000 range.
You're listening to The Angry Designer, where we cut through the industry bull to help frustrated graphic designers survive and thrive.
What's up, Angry Designers, and welcome back to part two of the conversation I had with web designer pro Josh Hall. Now, if you haven't listened to the first half, while I totally do appreciate you being here, I highly recommend that you go and listen to that one first, as there were some really good jewels of information in there about making the transition from a graphic designer to some web. Not web designer necessarily, but just embracing some web. The similarities in our businesses and our skill sets, and ultimately the effect it can have on your bottom line. I mean, as a graphic designer, if you want ongoing work, then incorporating a little bit of web practice or web projects into your mix might be a good thing for you. As for the rest of you, grab yourself a drink, sit back and enjoy this part two of the Angry Designers conversation with Josh Hall.
So there really is a lot of similarities. I tell you one thing, one benefit of being a brand guide specialist or creator along with graphic design is that will take care of a lot of work for websites, because we don't need to find a font. We got the font. We don't need to find the typography styles. We got those. So
the voice is written.
The voice is written. Yeah, the brand voice. A lot of that is if it's not taken care of in a brand guide, that's what you're going to have to do in a website, at least the basic versions of it. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you're going to have a scattered mess. So I think that's where the similarities are. I think where web design differs is that's kind of like phase one, where it's done for a graphic designer or brand strategist. That's only the beginning for a web designer, because now we're making multiple pages, multiple sets of copy, multiple designs, multiple call to actions, potentially different lead generators. So it just kind of, it expands from there. But I mean, my gosh, that's important. Like a good brand strategy is so important.
Makes all the difference. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, what about for people who have no clue? Okay, let's break down the costs of a website versus how you bill it to a customer. And we don't have to be exact science here, but like there are different components to a website build from, well, you tell me.
I mean, it is like the most affordable thing to get into. It mm-hmm. really is. And yes, tools will add up, subscriptions add up. But I had a friend who I went to high school with who's getting into web design now. He explored becoming a mortgage lender. Mm-hmm. And he was asking me the same question, like, what are the website costs to get started? And he was like, because it was like $10,000 just to like get going on this mortgage lender program. Like, you could literally get by within a year of web design tools for probably under a couple grand. For a year. Yeah. That's decent. Like probably less than that. I use Divi, which is a theme on top of WordPress. You can get lifetime access to that for under $300. It's ridiculous. Now they do have add-ons. You can do like AI add-ons, some other stuff that are ongoing. But I mean, yeah, you could get by, if you want to go, you know, super thrift, under $1,000. If you wanted to really beef up your tool stack and have a lot of tools going at the same time, it might be like $5,000 a year. Anywhere in between there, you could get by with. So it's extremely affordable. And there's a lot of things where you could get the free version, or you just don't worry about it in phase one. Get a builder, hosting. I use a company called SiteGround, which is who I use. But then there's like if you go the Wix route or Webflow or Squarespace, those are self-hosted and you're good there. I mean, I'm such a fanboy of Circle, which is a community builder. I've been with them since they opened, and I just love Circle. It's the first time I ever fell in love with an all-in-one solution. I used to be very against those. The cool thing about that and where I've changed my mindset on that is I don't worry about plugin updates. I don't worry about anything with that. It's just there's a couple different tiers. You could do like a $99 a month plan or $199 or $399, and that's it. It's kind of all in one. So A lot of different tools
Circle
out there.
Circle like a no code, all front end type of project like Wix and
You could. It's really a community builder and a membership platform. I can get into the code if I wanted to, but it's just not meant for
you
that.
And
it's
don't
not
need to.
It's not a front end website though. I should say that. But the idea of having like a solution that you're paying a moderate amount for, even if it's a few grand annually, it's like, oh my gosh, it is an incredible way to go. It's still super affordable.
So now on the flip side then, so a freelance graphic designer or maybe a duo or three people, small shop, you know, they get into this and they're investing $1,000-$3,000 a year. Realistically, what could a small shop, do for local websites and then versus, you know, the amount of effort that they have to put into that? And I don't mean this is like a, you know, slap it together and get it out. That's not what the job is here. But sometimes people don't understand how much or how little effort it takes to get a company online.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, as far as getting online, that can happen virtually instantaneously now.
Yeah.
I mean, I always recommend breaking it down into phases, like keep phase one simple. I think it's really easy to look at established agencies and brands and feel the imposter syndrome or feel like, oh my gosh, I've got a long way to go. Whereas step one of every agency and every studio looked very different. So I would just honestly keep it simple. I mean, as far as like, is this, Mossimo, is this more like towards your agency if you were to start one or nope. Like how much?
So sorry, when I say agency, I mean, let's just take it like you started as a freelancer. Right. You started as a freelancer getting into web, you know, well, I could go and charge like $1,000 for a logo, business card. Right. And there you go. So really, how much more could I make on a website?
Oh, yeah. Depending on the complexity, you know, anything from $1,000 to $30,000 if you get really, really robust with it. What I found is there's some common price points with web design still today. I think anything under the like 1500 range is going to be usually a template or done for you type of or done with you type of situation where you're going to have very little hours in that. It's going to be often more productized. My starting point was always at 2500. I found that to be a really good starting point for most businesses who were like, they were thinking like $1,000 for a website. And it's like, well, you know, my price points were 2500, 5000 and 10000.
Right.
Easy peasy. Yeah. Three ranges. They were all starting at those ranges. What I love about that model and why I teach that framework to my students is you have the ability now to take any project that comes through and put it right into one of those categories. You're like, oh, well, this is a $5,000 project for sure. This company, this mom and pop ice cream shop, they're just getting started. We can do the $2,500 route. This e-commerce website that wants to do a membership and has 100 blogs, they're a $10,000 website plus. Yep. So that's the best way to go. And those tend to even out. I think it's very realistic. And I say that confidently because a lot of my students are doing this to create a six-figure business from day one. If you really wanted to with graphic design, web design is all part of that. I have a student who in 2023 did 55,000 working on the side, working two full-time jobs into a web designer on the side, but he's just really good at like doing a few things. And he virtually got, I think he got two new clients in 23. He just circled back around to a dozen or so clients that he had built up over the past couple of years on the side. And now his plan is to go full time. So we're mapping out a plan for that.
That's amazing.
By the way,
good for him.
Six figures is $8,300 a month.
Yep.
So we want to keep it real simple. Can you land, you know, two projects at 2,500 and one at 3,000 in 1 month? There you go. Or can you get one $5,000 and a couple $1,000, you're going to be at six figures on average in no time. So that's the really cool thing about that.
Do you know what I found was, and not to be like, you know, I figured out the secret or anything, but the difference between a $10,000 website and a $25,000 website effort-wise was just
exactly
in the billing.
Same.
It was just in the billing, honestly, because we had put, and this is the funny thing. I it's like, it took me a long time to get the courage. And this goes back 15 years ago to charge $1,500 for a website, right? Then it was like, wow, I just got $1,500. I'm going to try for $2,500. And just like nothing changed. People are like, okay, I got same sales tactic, right? Started developing that formula. I got up to 10,000, right? And it was just like Yes, because again, I wasn't just throwing stuff out of my, but just seeing what stuck. I had a process and I sold that process. Then from 10,000 to 25,000, nothing changed but the price I was giving them. Because again, what I realized is we were putting in so much effort as designers into these sites that we were undercharging where we were. And I mean, it was so monumental in our business. And it still was, you know, a third to a half of all of our revenue ended up being just web design and then reoccurring web work. And again, and like I said, there really wasn't that much difference between, and I'm not saying that, you know, you're missing out, Josh, you need to go from 10 to 25. That's not the point. The point was, you know, from the customer side, what we were delivering still gave them that same value in the end, right? That they needed. They needed to get their brand online. They needed it to be strategic. They needed it to look different than any other website out there. And they were willing to pay for that.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's shocking that people, and again, of that whole 25, when we started, we didn't code ourselves. So we ended up doing about, you know, 2/3 of that, all in-house, like from, you know, planning, research, discovery, the design slicks. And then we had the agency afterwards, you know, for the last third who'd put it together and they would manage it for us all year long. And it was the most amazing relationship because, you know, I gave them business, they gave us business, and it went like that until we ended up absorbing them into our company.
Yeah. And I think the value of web design too, when it comes to pricing and pricing at higher price points is,
yeah,
it's a little easier to sell higher price points than I think probably print design and branding.
Agreed.
Now, again, I do not have too much experience with brand packages. So that's probably a different ball game because I imagine you could, you know, I mean, that's a core component of a brand. So I could imagine that price tag being pretty high. But for where I was with doing basic logo design and graphic design, it was all one-time stuff that was like, it should help. It might help grow the business. But as you mentioned, the website is a 24/7 salesperson.
Absolutely.
That will never stop and is always evolving and is always growing and things are changing and everything leads to the website. Anything you do on digital marketing wise, it doesn't all lead to your Facebook, it leads to your website. So that's what gives you. I mean, honestly, what we're getting down to is websites provide the leverage to charge 10, 20, 30, 40K if you really wanted to, especially depending on what you're offering in those type of packages.
Yeah,
which, by the way, my 2,500, 5,000, 10,000, that's kind of the starting point for people who get to the multi six figure. Like I have some students right now doing 250, 300, 400. Wow. Their price points are more like starting at the 10,000 range. But generally, they have a very, very proven system between SEO and copy and a lot of those things in place to where they are taking more of like the full stack of web design services on.
Very cool.
But that can still be it too. You know, it really,
that's
the leverage factor with that.
I think people need to realize that it's not either or, but these two worlds work together very well. Yeah. And it's a very natural, you know, you went full web, which is amazing. And it's done amazing for you. I still consider myself a graphic designer, but our agency offers full, you know, full web stack, full web experiences. So it's not like you have to choose. It's just another skill set that you can bring in underneath the, you know, and I think.
Can I say too, like, there's no right or wrong with that.
Yeah.
Like, if I personally liked web design more than graphic design, I got to the point where, and but again, you, like, for anyone who doesn't feel that way, that's fine too. Honestly, like I said in the beginning, if you feel like I can do web design, I see the value in what Josh and Mossimo are telling me, but I don't necessarily want to be a web designer yet, then like we said, start with partners or have it as a back-end offer and only reserve it for your really good clients. That's what I did vice versa with graphic design. I ended up dropping all graphic design lingo from my website, dropped the portfolio off, I hid it. I only offered branding and design to clients who did websites and asked for it. And I was like, they're going to be a really good person. Now, if I had charged way more like I should have with graphic design and limited logo revisions and feedback and stuff like that, I probably would have enjoyed graphic design more. But I was just getting to the point where I was working on these like $250 business cards. And I've got a $5,000 website project that I'm waiting to get started on because I'm doing these little print jobs. And that's when I was like, okay, I gotta tweak something here. And I did end up hiring out a lot of print work, which helped. But I just personally wanted to go all in on websites because it was what I was getting good at, was my interest. And With graphic design, it kind of goes back to the quote, what gets you here won't get you there. Yep. And for me, that's what graphic design was for me. I just felt like I'm here. It's really opened a lot of doors. I had also started teaching then too. So I was like, if I'm going to have time to devote to teaching and doing tutorials and teaching other web designers, which was kind of a new passion project, I can't be doing the whole print side of things too. So that may, honestly, man, that may look different. If I had not started teaching, I may have continued on with graphic and brand design being a larger part of the agency.
Okay. So we're both talking about how the web is like the second coming. It's the most amazing thing ever. But I mean, even last night, you know, at 10 to 5, I get a frantic customer calling because they have a web issue. Mm. And of course they're freaking. And so I have to bring people in, and we generally try not to work past 5:30. People were like, oh God, is this going to be a late night? It wasn't, but what are some of the stresses involved? And I figured, you know, cause this isn't always, you know, rainbows and butterflies. Oh, and it's not. And God knows it, but let's talk candidly about this. Like,
yeah.
Share
downtime, hacks, God. All those things are part of the web. It's just anything that is online is vulnerable. It wasn't like LastPass, the password manager was like broken into. So, you know, like there is just nothing that is fully secure. That's the problem with web. There's something nice about print design where it's done. And
yes,
you can't. Yeah. Like it's not a print design is not going to hack somebody's house. It's just sitting there. It's good. The problem with websites is that while it is awesome in the way of it's ever evolving and growing and a lot of different levels to it, it's a trade-off. There's more involved with it. The worst parts of web design are and this has gotten better over the years. Hacks are definitely the worst, and that's only if you're using WordPress or something that's potentially vulnerable. If you're using a self-hosted platform, which would be like the Wix, Webflow, Squarespace, Showit, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they could technically get hacked, but it wouldn't be on you. It would be for Wix to fix it.
Yes.
That's a big one. It has gotten a lot better for sure. Yeah. But that's why we have like a recurring income maintenance plan offer. But there's times where like that would be like some of my most stressful times as a web designer was a website got hacked. And then I started my maintenance plan and a security plan with it.
Yeah.
The other aspects, but there are downtimes, but I mean, I mentioned Circle a little bit ago. I love Circle, but I last month I was about to log on to a Q&A and Circle was down for like a half an hour. And it was a big time bummer, but I mean, that can happen to anything online. Yes. So
dude, Instagram was down.
Instagram was down a couple years ago. Yeah.
Couple days ago, I couldn't get in.
Oh, was it?
Like 20 hours. It kept on just reloading. It wouldn't, I don't know if it was just a North American thing or if it was a global thing. Actually, no, I had some friends in the UK, same thing. So
servers can go down. That's a problem. The other aspect of web design that is beware when you become a web designer or do web design, people are going to ask you about their email and their domain stuff. And that is a whole nother aspect that most nobody wants to deal with. I there's a guy named Ammer who's Canadian as well. Great guy. He is my email guru. He likes email. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you, Ammer? Why do you like this stuff? But God bless him. He loves it. So you want to, again, partner up with people who are going to take some of those things off. But that probably is, I think you hit the biggest difference when you go from graphic design and brand design, that is, there's just a lot. It's not easier, but it is a easier state of mind because you're not worried about it, you know, being live out there. And it's like when you have a website out there, something could go down, something could break. That is the downfall. But
it's like you're always on guard, right? You're like at any point something could happen. Even when we shut down, we're like letting everybody know, look, we're shut down, but your websites are always going to be online. They're always going. They're always being protected.
And I think that's why it's really important to have a support line.
Yeah,
that goes to your email. If you have a team, have that dedicated and pushed out. There's even like, I have a colleague who runs Focus WP, which is a white label like collective of designers and developers who help agencies who don't want to do maintenance. So if you don't want to be on call on Friday night, you can hire Focus WP, and then they'll handle that. You handle the website design stuff, and then if there's an issue, it kicks over right to them. You won't make as much profit on the ongoing stuff, but it's peace of mind. So you kind of have to ask yourself, Yeah. What's worth it for you as far as that goes? But I will say, like, hacks and some of those type of things have gotten a lot better over the years, especially with good hosting. My website got hacked when I was on my honeymoon, and we got back. So yeah, we got back, and I remember like, all right, I'm back, feeling good, had a nice honeymoon. I log into my website, and it was the white screen of death, and my website had been hacked. And it, somebody who referred me was like, hey, I went to your website, but I think something's wrong with it. And I was like, I look awesome now.
What a horrible way to think about that.
I'm a web designer. Go to my hacked website. So.
Oh, God. All right. So listen, graphic designers are all talking about AI. This is a hot topic in the design world on so many levels. And AI has been, you know, nipping at the heels of web design for years now, right? With a couple of the old platforms. What is your take on this? I mean, realistically, are people even going to have to worry about building websites and knowing how to build? Or is it, can AI just kind of steamroll the whole thing over?
I view AI as a really good starting point for most everything. Where my favorite aspect of AI is coding. So we were talking about earlier, like, do we need to learn code? Like, my gosh, is there ever a better time to get into web design with AI? Because you could literally go into ChatGPT, type in code, or just say, like, write this effect.
Yeah.
And then it kicks it out. Divi right now has Divi AI, which you can ask it to code. Like, you could say, add this type of styling to this module, and it will code it for you if you wanted it to be coded. That's where AI is really cool. AI with like content and stuff is kind of interesting because I'm already getting so burned out by just AI slop. And we can all tell an AI title. It will be like unveiling the five strategies of this and this and this to, you know, roadmap to success or something. It's like, I think that's where AI is getting already very muddied.
Agreed.
And yes, AI can kick out full sites now. But it's very much a starting point. I mean, I've tried some of the AI builders, and it's like, it's okay, but there's not much difference than having like a staging site. So like what I did and what I teach is to have basically a starting template that you have all set, all your plugins, everything ready to go. You deploy that to a new site that's that kind of site, and then you're off and running, and you just saved yourself 10 hours probably. AI is very similar. So what I'm saying is AI is catching up to Josh Hall with my methods. That's what I'm trying to get to.
Do you remember Grid AI when that was around, or was it Grid.io? The concept was it started, the idea was scary awesome. But then it disappeared literally overnight. It basically tanked. We're not sure why, but the concept was, of course, AI-driven websites. You put in your business, you put in the type of tools, if there's anything important about your product you need to list, and it builds a website for you, right? The catch was it was connected to 100,000 other websites, and it would take the data, like the user performing data, right? How people would click through, what was hot this month, what colors were hot, and it would constantly change your website based on all the data it was collecting from all these other websites out there. So if all of a sudden, for whatever reason, March was, you know, red was hot and converting more than any other color, your buttons would automatically turn that.
Oh, God,
right?
I could not be more against that.
That's horrifying. That was scary, though, isn't it? Like, I mean, again, it was you just completely handed the reins over to this. And I mean, that was the concept. That was what they were trying to build. And it crashed and disappeared in such a creepy way. I have no idea, but I and I am shocked because, again, you'd think that some people would just love that bottom line and just kind of jump to it.
The idea, I mean, it's basically like giving your website to a free Facebook group and saying like, hey, whatever you guys think is working, change it whenever you want.
My God, can you imagine?
I do think AI, for web design in particular, I think AI is going to be really great for like the starting tier and getting clients going and offering ongoing services to move them up to higher paying projects if you want to do that, if you want to have a low ticket offer, basically.
You don't
want to devalue the high ticket stuff, but you kind of have a choice. It's basically either template or custom. I mean, that really is where we're at with web design. You want to go template, AI, whatever, productize. There's a lot of value to that. Usually it's a good starting point, but if you want to go custom and you want me to really be involved with this, then we go custom. Then we go 10, 20, 30K.
Yeah,
I think that's a really solid way to go. how you price that, how you promote it, that's where it gets tricky, and it depends on what you want to do, what kind of business you want. I like the idea of an AI or template solution as a fallback plan for custom projects if somebody doesn't move forward. With graphic design, I don't know. I really haven't played around with it enough with graphic design. I saw you cringe, so I'm sure.
It's you know what? It is a very prevalent tool. I don't think it's going to replace graphic designers anytime soon, but I think graphic designers who don't use AI are the ones who are going to be replaced because let me tell you, some of the stuff I've been playing with it, I've done a couple of podcasts about it. The stuff that you're able to create in such a short amount of time is unreal. And prompting is literally going to be, the second tool, second graphic designer's tool, learning how to prompt.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's not there yet. But man, when it finally fixes those final quirks, which is probably going to be by the end of this year, it's going to be something to it's going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Is that something in like Illustrator or all?
Well, Photoshop is using it. Illustrator is using it. And in those tools, it's like I almost use that now more than a lot of the design tools, which is sad to say. Like what it does for my compositions now is just unreal. It's become probably the most valuable tool in Photoshop for me right now. But, tools like Midjourney and DALL-E and just some of the other ones that are coming out. Over the holidays, I created this book with my daughter for her school project. And, it took me a good 2 days trying to learn, AI and how to get this consistency in pictures. And I had to use both AI and Photoshop. But the final product probably would have taken me 5, 6, 8 times more if I wasn't using it. And if I was to bill that to a customer, which I absolutely could have, I gotta charge $10,000 for that project. So it's pretty insane what is happening in that space. So I think, and people are foolish not to think that it is coming for all of us. We just need to embrace it.
It's here, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
On that note, I would have charged this. You could still charge that because clients, if they try to do it, they don't know how to prompt. They don't know how to do these things.
Exactly.
And the reality is, if anything speeds up your workflow or your design time dramatically, do it. A job done faster does not devalue the job.
Yep.
If you're going to tell a client, we're going to do this branding package, it's going to take 3 months. Yep. Or if you're like, we're going to have the first concepts out in, 3 weeks or 3 days, whatever it is.
Yep.
They're going to pay the same effect. They may pay more if it's done faster. So
exactly.
You're right. You said it. And the same thing for web designers. We'll just say designers, encapsulate everybody. Designer AI is not going to take over designers. Designers using AI will take over designers.
Absolutely.
Because they're going to be faster, more nimble. It's going to be easier. They're going to not burn
profitable.
Out. More profitable. Yeah, they'll literally outlast because they have more time and resources and money. Yeah.
Do you have any train wreck stories that you can share? Client stories?
Ooh. Oh my gosh. Well, there was one, and again, this is where, as much as I'm a WordPress guy, WordPress is the most complicated. I think WordPress is in a really tricky spot right now in web design because all these other tools that we've already talked about are taking a lot of the market share, and WordPress is freaking hard to get into. I know you're not a fan. Yeah, you mentioned it is not user-friendly. I mean, compared to custom coding, WordPress came out in 8, 9, 10. And it was like, wow, this is so much easier. Now it's like they really haven't evolved too much since then. So now it's already looking dated on the back end. It's the builders it's the builders in the community that are really carrying WordPress.
Yes.
The horror stories, though, for me were usually a mix of that. Usually a mix of like a hack happened, or I remember one time, I don't want to get too technical, but the way WordPress works is there's folders in WordPress that have the content, images, and plugins. There's a database that has the pages, and they're separate. They're not in the same place. So I moved a whole new website that I had done. We had worked on this thing for months. Moved it over to a new host. Then I deleted all the old website. I had no idea that I didn't bring over the pages. So I brought over content. Images and styling, but no pages were there. And I was like, oh my gosh, what happened? They were freaking out because we went live and they were like, we just promoted this. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I'll figure it out. I talked to the host and I had deleted the entire old site because I didn't realize it was in the database and they couldn't recover it. So I had to recreate I remember I spent like 3 days straight just trying to recreate what I had done, remembering I didn't, and I made a rookie mistake. I didn't back it up.
Yep.
Now you can just one click back up your entire website, database, and folders. I didn't have my maintenance plan course to tell me how to do that. So like, it was bad. That was a rough one, particularly because we had just went live and
yeah. There was nothing there. It was down. Yeah,
that sent the old hairline back a little bit. There was one to do with email, which is when I realized that I'm never, ever, ever touching email for a client ever again. Yeah. You really need an IT person or just hire it out completely. Yeah, one Friday night, we moved a website, and I moved the email over, and I didn't know how they had their email set up. And they went in. Dude called me on a Saturday morning freaking out saying, I logged on my computer and all my email's gone. And I'm like, oh, well, I moved the email from the server, but I didn't realize that it was actually stored on his computer.
Yep.
That's email is, by the way, you could basically store it on the computer with hosting or with like Gmail, or you can literally store it on a native computer, like on a manual computer.
If they're downloading it, yeah.
That was a rough one. I just ran out of my beer. I might need to get a second beer if I'm going to keep going on those, Massimo. But
do you know what happened to me? And this is recently. And I mean, I am very ashamed of this because I know better. But I had a longstanding customer for years. And they needed a website. And, you know, what had happened is they caught us at a bad time. So we were too busy. So they went to another agency to get the site done. And 6 months goes by. Well, it's actually worse. Six months goes by. The other agency didn't understand the customer. They couldn't deliver this. They came back and they said, listen, you know, I was sorry to have left you. I'm sorry. Can you take over the website project? These guys have no clue what they're doing. I was like, great. But we're really busy. So you're not going to see anything till like November. And this is November of last year. So not a problem. So we're on track. We go through everything. Okay. We go through sitemap, our information architecture. We do the creative. We do the copywriting. We're in the build stage. Okay. We are 2 weeks from the site being live and we send them the QA'd version. We're like, here's the website. Review it. It's done. You know, we just have to connect the blog and, you know, there's a couple minor touches, but it's ready for your review. They ghost us. Okay, for about 2 weeks. We're like, what the hell's going on? The owner comes back and he has completely changed the site.
Oh.
Top to bottom, every possible, like it's not the same site at all.
Sure.
It was not. And because they came back and they were a longstanding customer, and I figured, oh God, they came back to us. There's no chance they're leaving. I forgot to invoice them a deposit on the job. And at this point, I was like, dude, your site's done. We're waiting for you to approve it. And he's like, yeah, but I have this new vision. I need you to do it this way. I need you to do it this way. Kept on pushing. I was just like, no, we're not going to do it. It was so ultimately, you know, the client relationship severed. I couldn't believe that they did that because they approved everything at every stage. They came at the 11th hour, but we lost out on everything because I did not do, I tried and true, send deposits. We didn't do it. Mm-hmm. And this is recently. So no matter, I've learned every lesson in the world. This happened 3 months ago.
Wow.
So we lost out. Yeah. Probably, you know, internally, that was probably, you know, $10,000, $12,000 worth of effort. The total job was about a $25,000 site.
Yeah,
that would hurt. So, you know, no matter how long you're doing this, you still slip up.
Yeah. And there's a couple lessons. Another horror story real quick was not that bad, but I went live with the site and then the client had access to it and they just completely, ruined the design. All of those things made me realize, back your site up, right when you're done with your design, even on your portfolio, what I learned is on your portfolio page to say, sites may not reflect initial build.
Yeah.
That's code for my clients may have screwed the site up.
Yeah. Exactly.
We
do that all the time.
Yeah, I literally have that on my website because, people, they need to know, like, don't judge this. This may have been the client.
Because they'll go to their site and they'll be like, this doesn't look the same.
Yeah, which you can put your initial design on your website as like a development site live, like a staging site, and be like, this was the design for this. You know, it looks different now. But of course, you can do it in a nice way. But yeah, those are some. Horror stories are generally technical related or client related. That's
Yeah, definitely.
Two dark paths either way.
All right, Josh, I can talk to you forever.
This is great, and
we'll have more of these. I mean, we can have another one of these. I'm always open to, you know, and we didn't even really have anything controversial today. This is pretty high level.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, I always try to finish off every, you know, conversation with a guest, of course, with, you know, rapid round questions.
All right. Okay. Let's do it.
So I am going to give you 2 minutes. Okay. On the phone. Okay. We're going to set this up for 2 minutes and then you are going to answer these questions, just quick fire questions. All right. And we're going to understand who Josh is. All right. Okay. You ready, buddy?
I'm ready. Nervous. I'm ready.
Okay. Mac or PC?
Mac.
Paper or tablet?
Paper.
Favorite music to code to?
Meshuggah.
Is the fold in web design still a thing?
Yes.
Are you a morning person or night owl?
Night owl.
Favorite children's cartoon?
SpongeBob.
Oh, okay. Favorite collectible?
Ooh, I'm not a collectible guy. Anything Star Wars.
Okay. Good save. Good save. Favorite superhero?
I don't love superheroes, but if I had to pick one, no,
coolest,
this is horrible.
Superhero,
I'm not a superhero guy. I'm going to just say Vader, even though he's not a superhero, Darth Vader.
Oh, no, he's pretty badass. That's pretty badass, dude. Favorite web platform?
I'm still going to say WordPress. Still going to say it, even though
I was hoping to save you, brother. Is the future of Google search toast?
No.
No. Okay.
AI-driven, though. AI-driven.
I did see that. I did see that. Is UX just common sense?
No.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Puppies or kittens?
Puppies.
Pirates or ninjas?
Oh. Ninja pirates. I'm sure that's been said before. I'm going to go ninjas if I had to choose two.
Okay, good. Favorite website for design inspirations?
Web Designer Pro, my community.
Nice. Smart.
Softball.
Good plug. Good plug. First artist that comes to mind?
Oh, I'm trying to think of not the normal ones. I'm going to say the SpongeBob artist in the one episode where he loses his pencil in the sea.
Oh, God. That's pretty funny, actually. Do you dream in code?
No.
Nice. Do you remember what CMYK stands for?
Yes. Cyan, Magento. Wait a minute.
Magento is a shop, is an e-commerce platform.
Oh, I'm sorry. Magenta, black. Oh my God, I forgot. CMYK.
Yeah, it's a Y. What color does it start with Y?
Black is Y, right?
No. Black is K. It's actually key, but yellow is... Oh, yellow. I just gave it to you.
Got it. That's right, because yellow is...
I took pity on you, brother.
It's been a long time, but I knew it when I was fooling on graphic design.
Okay, worst website trend you've ever seen?
Animations are pretty brutal.
Okay. When browsing websites, are you a font nerd or a layout critic?
Layout critic.
Sketch or Adobe XD?
Sketch.
True or false, AI will replace UX designers?
I could see that being true.
Sad, scary, right? Yeah. What's your guilty pleasure?
Oh, bagels. I love bagels.
20 years ago, who would win in a fight, Bill Gates or Steve Jobs?
I think anyone could beat Bill Gates. He could trip.
Right answer.
He could trip and mess himself up.
Best video game console ever?
Oh, PS2 still has my heart.
Nice. Yeah. Good man. And one thing that always makes you angry, Josh.
Oh, that people view audiobooks as reading. I'm going to start a passion project one day, ending this debate, because people say, I read 60 books last year. I'm like, how did you do that? And they're like, oh, I listened to them. I love audiobooks. You do not freaking read a book. You listen to a book. Let's call it what it is, people. Audiobooks are not reading.
That's amazing, dude. That's so true. So true. So look, Josh, I appreciate you coming on here. Okay. You do so much. Quick, talk about the community. So joshhall.co. That is
my personal brand site that has everything. It's got links to my courses, my tutorials, my podcast. I have a community called Web Designer Pro, which has my courses now inside of it. So it's where to go if you want to become a Web Designer Pro and if you want to be really a part of my direct community. I do weekly live calls. All my courses are there. We do guest trainings.
You're really passionate about this too. Help people out.
My gosh, it's incredible. I mean, I was on a call today with our weekly coaching call, and it's like I get fired up. It's just such an amazing group of people. It's less than a couple hundred right now. I'm capping pro at 250 because I'm personally involved with everybody and everyone can directly ask me for coaching advice. So I will not have the bandwidth or capacity above that. I may explore like a lower entry tier eventually once we get to that point. But as of right now, everything's at joshhall.co. You can still purchase my courses one-off if you just want a course. And that's also a ticket to try out Web Designer Pro to see if it'll be a good fit for you. But, you know, we were talking this whole conversation about partnerships and having a support system. That's what I've learned and realized in being a community builder is the people I see succeed and excel and stay sustainable are not lone wolves doing things on there. And they're also not in a Facebook group that's 20,000 people where you're not really getting too many meaningful connections there. Like I think everyone should be in one or two or three trusted communities where you get fully supported. I have a guy in pro is a young guy who is a graphic designer and he does web. So very akin to what we're talking about. And he's a perfect example of like, he's hiring out SEO and advanced stuff that he doesn't want to do. He's really good at branding and design and video work and can do some website stuff, but he's learning that. I think he'll like this conversation. So that's my community. That's why I'm so passionate about it.
And I mean, you've got a podcast with what, like 300 episodes now?
By the time this, if we're going to repurpose this, this may be into the 320s or something. So I love doing the podcast.
It's a rush.
It is a rush. I've been doing it for 4 years now. So it's over 4 years. Yeah. It's one of the things that it's kind of one of those things where like, if I wasn't, and I don't get directly paid for the podcast, I don't currently do sponsors or very rarely do. It leads to my community and it's an audience relationship builder. But it's like, if I had all the money in the world, I didn't need to work, I would probably just do a podcast. It's like,
I know they're fun. It's fun. It's fun to connect people this way. It's fun to give this information. It's a cool vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
You learn a lot about yourself and communication too. Like I'm such a better speaker than I was before my podcast.
Jeez, you know, I'm a better drinker for sure. I don't know about the speaker, but you know,
those are my favorite podcasts and I can take a beer and not get judged by it. Yep.
Oh God. Okay, dude, you know what? I encourage every one of our listeners, of course, to check out your site because the whole reason why I brought you on is you came from this space, you understand this space, and I mean, you're pretty candid about it, right? So again, I really appreciated this conversation. If there's ever anything you need, don't be scared to reach out, but I encourage all of our users to check out joshhall.co. Again, YouTube, you know, 3.5 million views on the sites, his podcast. And of course, you also give out a newsletter, do you not?
I do. I just started a weekly newsletter. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Just so a little valuable bit of like 5-7 minutes every week. You just get a quick tip, a quick dose, a little thing to help. Sometimes it's a story. Sometimes, like, I actually got a web design lead wearing my Web Designer Pro shirt that I'm wearing right now. I was working in a coffee shop. And a dude said, "Hey, I saw your shirt. You do web design. I know somebody who needs web design help." Easiest way to get a lead. I have Pro Swag, Web Designer Pro Swag. Actually, anyone can buy. Even if you're not a member, you can still you can get free leads if you want. Just wear the swag. There you go.
Just wear the swag.
Speaking of print, like, that is the power of print. I can't believe it's taken this long to say. Wear your brand, especially if it says designer in it.
Oh my God, so
and
true.
It's a genius. Like, that still holds true today. So
absolutely, it does, dude. Thank you for coming on the show. I appreciate this. On behalf of myself and Sean, who is not here, you know, I hope everybody got something out of this episode. And if you haven't, don't be scared to reach out to Josh on his platforms or to us, because this is a topic that I am passionate about, and I don't want anybody to shortchange themselves without seriously considering a future of incorporating web design into our mix for graphic designers.
Couldn't agree more, man. Thanks, Massimo. Right, I really enjoyed this one, man. Already excited for the next round.
Woohoo, me too. My name is Massimo. Sean's over there, and you are?
I'm Josh.
Stay creative and stay angry, everybody. Peace.